Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah and Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Yayin Nesech Asur. Obviously, as we've seen throughout the Masechta, Yayin Nesech is problematic. Ve'oser Bekoshu. And it also makes it Asur, even with the smallest amount. Again, something that we've known throughout the Masechta. And it seems strange that it's bringing it up here. We'll see in a second, maybe there's a greater Chiddush about that. Yayin V'yayin. If it is wine that got mixed with wine, meaning Min B'mino, Yayin shel Yisur, that got mixed up with Yayin shel Heter, or Mayim b'mayim b'koshu, or if it's water with water, either of those, the Yisur is b'koshu. And as Rashi notes over here, the Mayim b'mayim that we're speaking about here is Mayim shenit naschuda b'dat kochavim. This is water that was poured as a libation to Avodah Zarah. So here's our first introduction to the concept that there's also Nisuch HaMayim in Avodah Zarah, not just Nisuch HaYayin. And as the Ritva points out, obviously, we're speaking about water that is detached, because we already saw earlier in the Masechta that Mayim Mechubarim does not become Avodah Zarah unless it has very, very particular character traits to it. And therefore, in our Mishnah, he must be speaking about a case where we're speaking about not Mayim Tlushim. In both of those cases, if the Yayin Nesech or the Mayim Nisuchim gets mixed up with Mino, with wine of Heter, or water of Heter, in all of those cases, it's Oser B'Koshu. Yayin B'mayim, Umayim B'yayin, over here where you're dealing with Min, She'enu Mino, it means that it's wine with water, water with wine, B'notein Tam. Then it has to do with the flavor. It's 60 to 1, the flavoring of the item becomes the important factor. Ze'aklal, here's the principle that's established, which seems obvious from the Mishnah, which is Min B'mino B'mashu. If it is the same type, then even a mashu is oser. Shelo b'mino b'notein tam. And if it's a different flavor, a different tam, a different min, then in that case, it's b'notein tam, and it's determined by a 60 to 1 ratio. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, right off the bat, says, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, the davka yayin nesech mamash. That we're only speaking about real yayin nesech in the Mishnah. But by stam yayinam, then it's batel b'shishim. So Rabbeinu Tam makes a chiluk here, which we do not find throughout the Masechta, which is that there's a difference between Yayin Nesech and Stam Yenam. Until this time in the Masechta, the Gemara has conflated the two, and spoken about Stam Yenam and Yayin Nesech as if it was Yayin Nesech, and it was Oser B'Kosho. Over here, the Rabbeinu Tam introduces this idea, there's a distinction between Yayin Nesech and Stam Yenam. Yayin Nesech will be B'Kosho, Stam Yenam will be Benotin Tam. Now, if you do say that, then there's a huge chiddush in our Mishnah, and that's why the Mishnah is repeating information that we already know from early in the Masechta, that Yayin Nesech is Oser B'Koshu. It's not as important that it's Oser B'Koshu, but what's more important is what's not Oser B'Koshu, and that'd be Stam Yenam. It's specifying Yayin Nesech and not Stam Yenam. The Baal Tosfot themselves say, throughout the Masechta, we don't find such a distinction between Yayin Nesech and Stam Yenam. They're always conflated. And the recess, even if you want to say that Stam Yenam is B'mashu, which seems to be the position that they're taking, that Stam Yenam and Yayin Nesech have no difference, they are the view of the Tosafot that's been repeated or underlying many of the positions that we had throughout the Masechta is out front and center. Afilu hachi, avi Stam Yenam zman hazeh b'shishim. Stam Yenam today is b'shishim. Only in the time of the Tanaim and Morim, where there was real Avodah Zarah, and the people worshipping the Avodah Zarah had real practices, then they were machmir about Stam Yenam, which is an Isur Durabbanan, like Yayin Nesech, which is an Isur Torah, even though the Isur Ramashu was only Midurabbanan. Nevertheless, the Isser itself of Yayin Nesech is Midoraita. Hilkach, Linyan Bitul, Kishar Isurim Domi, Upatel B'Shishim, Kamo Shar Isurim. So the Re, in the end, says that the Rabbeinu Tam is right, but not for his reason. The Rabbeinu Tam wants, at a fundamental level, to differentiate between Yayin Nesech and Stam Yenam, whereas the Re says, we don't necessarily see that distinction in the Gemara, but in reality, that distinction will exist, because the Stam Yenam of today is different than the Stam Yenam of the Tanaim and Umuraim. And the Stam Yenam of the Tanaim and Umuraim, there was reason to be goes there because it was so close to Yayin Nesech, or very likely to become Yayin Nesech. Our Stam Yenam today, there's no reason to be goes there like that. And therefore, it has a din like regular Bitul, and is not subject to the rules of Yayin Nesech of being Oser B'kol Shehu. So obviously that is a major kula with regards to Stam Yainam. And even if you believe that Stam Yainam is B'mashehu, that's only true when the Isser comes from Tarovet with Stam Yainam that had Maga. But the Stam Yainam comes from a problem of Koach of the Ovei Kochavim that everybody agrees is only Asur B'notein Tam. Ki'ad Rav Dimi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came, he brought the member of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rav Dimi, Ravin, are traveling back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and they many times bring the memro to Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael, who's the major authority at the time in Eretz Yisrael, and for a long period of time he's the major authority there because he lives a pretty long life, and therefore he spans a number of generations of Amoraim. They are bringing back his memro to Bavel, and this is the memro that they brought from Rabbi Yochanan. Someone is pouring from a barrel into the boar, into the collection vat, afilu kol hayom kulo, even he's doing it all day long, rishon batel. As it goes in, or drips in slowly, piece by piece, the wine that is already in the vat, that is heter, will be mevatel, the small amounts of wine that are coming into the vat. So you have here, yayin nesech, or stam yenam, that is in a utensil. And now you're pouring from that utensil into the boar, the collection vat, which has wine that far exceeds that which is in the barrel. And the question is, as it goes in, how do we view that mixture that is happening? What Rabbi Yochanan is establishing here is a principle called Rishon Batil, that as it pours in, each drop, you look at it in an isolated manner, and therefore it's Batel. As it goes in, the first drop is Batel, the second drop is Batel, the third drop is Batel, and therefore nothing ever becomes a sur because the isur is being taken out as it goes into the heter. Now, if you look at that in its most extreme form, that means that you can continue pouring and pouring and pouring all day long, as it says here. And even once the isur exceeds the level of the heter, it's still rishon batel, and the isur will disappear because as each drop goes in, the heter is there to block it from becoming isur. Now, according to that, Shita, Rashi over here seems to be suggesting such, then how do you have a case where you're talking about Isur Bekosho or anything else that's happening that would make the wine Asur? Rashi says all those cases are cases where a large quantity of the item fell in at once. So the whole barrel fell in together into the collection vat. It wasn't being poured in a stream, but rather it dropped in the entirety in one shot. If that happens, then the Yayin Nesech will have impact on the Yayin Shel Heter, because then you can't say Kama Batil, because the amount that's going in is overwhelming in one shot. What's interesting over here is that you have now three different categories. You have the category of nothing happening, which is the zero level. You have a problem called the Mashahu, which is that when a small amount goes in, it's Oser. And then you have an area between the two of those, which is called Rishon Batil, which means that it hasn't reached the level of a mashu yet, because a mashu already would make it a suer, and therefore it would not be relevant anymore. But then you have Rishon Batil, which means that some minute amount is going in, becoming batel, before it becomes a mashu. Theoretically, it's interesting that even though a mashu is a suer, nevertheless, we're still saying that Rishon Batel. It doesn't reach the level of a mashu, and therefore it's Batel. The Ravid over here says that, in this case, to say Rishon Batel, that you have to believe that the guy is Tufek Tafet. Something that we saw yesterday is that he keeps cutting the flow. If it's a continuous flow, then you can't say Rishon Batel. It has to be a case where he keeps cutting off the flow, that is coming in a staggered manner, because if you view it coming in a continuous flow, then that would say that the whole unit is one big unit, and that the nitzok will connect between that which is in the boar below and that which is in the barrel above. That assumes that you believe nitzok is a chibor. We saw in Machloket Rashi and Tosafot yesterday. But the Ravid at least offers the possibility that if it was a continuous flow, it would be problematic. The Ramban disagrees with him and says, if you say Rishon Batel, then the nitzok's never a problem. Because as the nitzok hits, it's detached because that item is batel, and that means that you don't have a direct connection between the whole flow. And so the Ramban believes that what the Ravid said is incorrect.
So the different Balei Tosafot have a number of ways of dealing with this. One way to deal with it is to say anything that happens naturally, meaning that it grows or naturally overcomes the isur that is not considered to be kama kama batel. That's to solve the problem of a gidule chuma that the Bayit Tosfot note that there is no din of kama kama batel. In addition, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests if it is a continuous flow, we do not say kama kama batel. It's only if there are breaks along the way do we say kama kama batel. And if you look at the end of the Bayit Tosfot down here, he said something similar within the Shita of Rashi, that Rashi would say that kama kama batel is only in the case where it comes in drip by drip, or comes in a slow manner. He would not say it when it comes in one shot or in one flow. But in the end, the Bayit Tosafot suggests that the real solution to the problem here is to say that kama kama batel has a limit to it. And that is that kama kama batel only applies until you reach shishim, which is that you keep pouring isur in. As the isur goes in, the amount of isur over the whole period of time becomes greater and greater and overwhelms the yayin that's het there. So you'll actually have, in the most extreme case, a case where the entire thing is asur, except for a mashu of het there. I mean, it's gotten so great. The Bayit Tosfot are unwilling to accept such a concept, and therefore they say rishon rishon batel is limited until notein tam. So that means that we only say rishon rishon batel until we reach the level of notein tam. Once you cross the level of notein tam, then we say that it's no longer rishon rishon batel. But that means, according to the Bayit Tosafot, rishon rishon batel is not really different than a normal case. Which is, in a normal case, we said it's been notein tam. And now you have a rishon rishon batel, then it's also been notein tam. So now you have no chiddush left, whether it's rishon rishon batel, and then it reaches notein tam, or it's rishon rishon batel, and it doesn't reach the notein tam. The din will be the same as a case where it all fell in at once, and it was notein tam, or it fell in at once and it wasn't notein tam. The din is the same. And the Bayit Tosafot ask the question on themselves and say, Uma chiddush bazeh? What's the chiddush anymore? If you say that, Yesh lomar. That even though our Mishnah says that yayin b'yayin is b'mashu, d'lo mari b'isura v'go heteira. The chiddush of the Mishnah is the direction of the flow, which is that our Mishnah that says yayin b'yayin is b'mashu, that's only unidirectionally. That's only true when heter falls into isur. But vice versa, when isur falls into heter, that would not be the case. And that answers your question. By Tosafot, one sweep, also we deal with the issue of mashu. Then we just say that mashu is oser. You say rishon rishon batel, then you've eliminated the concept of mashu. The answer is when it's in reverse. When you have the heter falling into the isur. When the isur is falling into the heter, rishon rishon batel, and then it's subject to notein tam, and then it becomes like notein tam. So then there's no chiddush over there anymore, it's notein tam. The chiddush is that our Mishnah, when it says yayin b'yayin b'mashu, cannot be speaking about that case of Isur going into Heter, but rather has to be the vice versa, the case where the Heter is falling into the Isur. What happens if you have a small amount of Isur there, that Isur mashu, you can't say Rishon Rishon Botel because the Heter is coming in and touching. The touches it, it becomes Asur and continues to become Asur. And that's where the mashu will come into play. That's the way the Bayit Tosafot suggests that the Chiddush is over here. I see a number of you shaking your heads. The Rabbi Akiva Eger says the same thing. Lo zachiti lavin ma chiddushu. I don't know what the chiddush is. Da fil denafol bevat achat lo mani samach beheter mikol makom benafol bekiluach aminen kama kama batli. He says that the difference is that when it falls in one shot versus the case where it falls in a flow. I mean that you only say kama kama batil when it's flowing in. You don't say that like Rashi says when the whole barrel falls in. The whole barrel falls in, then the mashu will matter and it won't be anybody more subject to no dain tam. And that will be the nafkamina. The nafkamina will be when you have a whole barrel fall in one shot, and then any amount of that that touches, as soon as it touches, makes the whole thing a sur, because you don't have rishon rishon batel, because the entirety is going in. That means even if it's less than notein tam, it will make it a sur, even though in the case of the flow, it would only be a sur once it reaches notein tam. So the Rabbi Akiva Eger says that even without what the Tosafot is saying, there is still a chiddush over here. And that is rishon rishon batel is different than the whole barrel falling in one shot. The whole barrel falls in one shot. You don't need notein tam for it to be asur. On the other hand, if it goes in rishon rishon batel, then you need notein tam for it to be asur. So he says that is the nafkamina, or that is the chiddush that would be associated with this position. Tanan, yayin nesek asur v'oser b'koshu. Gemara asks the question from our Mishnah. It's oser b'koshu.
How are you going to explain that? My lavdaka nafel isur legoet teira. Isn't the Mishnah applicable even in a case where the isur is falling into heter? And then it doesn't say Rishon Rishon Batel. It says all serve it. Mashu. I says, lo, the nafel hetera lego isura. The Mishnah is a case where the heter is going into the isur, and therefore it's not subject to Rishon Rishon Batel. And that is what the Baal Tosafot think is the chiddush of the Mishnah at this point. Is that that's the direction that has to be in order for the Mashu to be Oser. Rashi over here has an unusual statement, which most of the Rishonim do not agree with, which is, Rashi says now, when the Yayin Shel Heter goes into the Isur, we apply Rishon Rishon Batel again. And we just say it in the opposite direction, which is that when you have Isur going to Heter, we say Rishon Rishon Batel, that's to your advantage, because then it takes away the Isur. Rashi says the opposite happens when Heter is flowing into Isur. As the Heter goes into the Isur, we say Rishon Rishon Batel, and therefore the Heter going in will now become Asur. And that means that even if it's got it to the point where it's not Notein Tam anymore, it'll still be Asur. Meaning that if the Heter overwhelms the Isur to the point where the Isur is no longer giving any flavor, nevertheless, that won't help you over here because Rishon Rishon Batel. And the heter turned into Isur along the way. And therefore, there's no aggregate heter that's left. That's Rashi's Chiddush over here. Most of the Rishonim disagree with that because of the fact that we only have this din by Yayin Nesech. We don't have this din by other Isurim Shebe Torah. The Ramban questions Rashi's position based on this. If what Rashi is saying is true, that Rishon Rishon Batel is an application, it should have application to any Isur in the Torah. And that means that all Isurim in the Torah should be Oser Bekoshul. Because anytime you have heter falling into Isur, then the Isur should be mevatel the heter, and then it shouldn't be subject to Shishim or Notein Dam. You should always have Oser B'kol Shul, just like you have over here. The fact that it's only applicable by Yayin Nesek shows you that what Rashi is saying is incorrect. And therefore the Ramban says that this din is a din dirabonon, and not a din of Rishon Rishon Hu Batel.
This is a chidush in Yayin Nesek, b'min b'mino, that if the heter falls in, and it's not enough to be mevatel the isur, that it is batel, and we don't consider it at all, even if a lot of heter falls in. If it's mishena mimino, then it's subject to notein tam. Once it reaches the point where it overwhelms the isur but notein tam, then it is fine. But it is a unique din that is associated with the Yayin Nesek, and it's a chumra of Yayin Nesek. It's not a general principle of kama kama batel.
Tashma, yayin b'mayim b'notein tam. The remainder of our Mishnah says that when you have wine that goes into water, that that is subject to notein tam. My love, the kanofil chamra de isura la maya de hetera. Once again, it sounds like you have the wine of Isur that is falling into the water of heter. And again, that would be subject to kama kama batel. The fact the Mishnah doesn't recognize that shows you that it must be that it doesn't apply. Lo, the kanofil chamra de hetera la maya de isura. Now, it's a case where the wine of heter is falling into the water of Isur, and therefore you're not subject to kama kama batel. According to Rashi, you're subject to it in the opposite direction, and so therefore it would be Asur. The Gemara says, well, if you want to run that in a parallel structure in the Mishnah, you're going to run into a problem in the next scenario, which is umidereisha bimaya di Isura. So now if you're telling us that the first case is a case where the waters are Asur, and then it's chamra of heter, wine of heter, falling water of isur, seifanami b'maya di isura. Then in a parallel case, in the seifa, it should also be that the water is asur. And that is the reverse case. It's because the case is yayin b'mayim, umayim b'yayin. It takes you both cases. So if you can tell us in the first scenario, it's the water that's asur, then in the second scenario, it's also the water that's asur, and it's just in the opposite direction, and you just postponed your problem by one case in the Mishnah, and now you have the same problem, which is you have Mayim of Isur falling into the Yayin of Heter, Rektani Seifa, Mayim B'Yayin B'Notein Tam. Once again, you have Notein Tam. So just as a sidebar, according to the Baal HaTosafot, there's no question here. The Baal HaTosafot believe that even Rishon Rishon Batel is still subject to Notein Tam. And so according to the Baal HaTosafot, the whole questioning of the Gemara over here seems a little bit strange, because the answer is yes, it is B'Notein Tam. That even if it is Rishon Rishon Batel, it is also subject to Notein Tam. So the Baal HaTosafot say that the Gemara is asking, based on the latter half of the Mishnah, whatever structure you give will then be true of the first half of the Mishnah. And that's the case of Yayin B'Yayin, And then you'll have, your question will arise in those scenarios, which is where it's yayin b'yayin, but that'll be based on the structure that you set up in the second half of the Mishnah. Whereas all the other Rishonim view this as being internal to the second half of the Mishnah, where is it mayim b'yayin or yayin b'mayim? Amar lecha Rav Dimi, kulu matnitin hetera lego yisura. You're trying to create a parallel structure by the nature of the mayim. The mayim is asur, and yayin is heter. So in one case, it's the heter falling to the isur, and the other case, it's the isur falling to the heter. Don't do it that way. The parallel structure in the Mishnah is that it's always heter following into isur. And no matter how you structure it, that's what's happening in the Mishnah. So that means when you read the Mishnah of yayin b'yayin, it means that it's yayin of heter going to yayin of isur. When you read the case of yayin b'mayim, it's yayin of heter going to mayim of isur. When you read the case of mayim b'yayin, it's mayim of heter going to yayin of isur. And the parallel structure is the nature of what is happening here, that it's always heter following into isur. It's not a parallel structure in that the water is always asur, or the yayin is always asur. And that way you solve the problem. Bereisha, the kanafu chamra de etera, lamaya di isura. Sefer, the kanafu maya de etera, the chamra di isura. And in that way you solve the problem and it doesn't undermine Rabbi Yochanan's position. Barashi, when heter falls into isur, you still have the problem of kama kama batel. That Rashi solves by qualifying all these cases here and saying, kevin enofel kule kechado, it all fell in at once. And therefore the mayim of isur can't be mevatel it, kama kama batel. The Ramban invokes his principle, and actually this is his proof, partly to his principle, that there is no such concept as kama kama batel when heter is falling into isur, especially when it's min she'enu mino, and therefore here it could be following in drop by drop, and it still would be, when the heter overwhelms the isur, that it would be heter. Ki'atar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. So now you have Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef bringing Rabbi Yochanan's din, and he says, "Hame'are yayin nesech mitzutur katan lebor, afilu kol hayom kulo rishon rishon batel." If you pour from a small flask, a small pitcher into the boor, you say rishon rishon batel. Dav katzir tzur katan. That's only true when you're talking about a small utensil, the lo nafish amudei, because its flow or its volume is not high. Aval chavit, you're talking about a pitcher or a small barrel, the nafish amudei, low, that it has a high volume, that would not be true. Rashi right away on the spot says that Rav Yisrael bar Yosef is arguing on Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi did not make any distinction over here between the volumetric level of the flow. He simply said, kama kama batil. Over here you have Rav Yisrael bar Yosef saying, there is a differential in the flow. The Baal Tosafot at least note that Rav Dimi might agree that there is a volumetric test. He just might think the test is different. He says that it's a chavit and not a gigit, which is a very large barrel, would not be kama kama batil. He has this distinction, just his distinction is one level higher. He thinks the chavit is batil, but a gigit is not batil. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef comes along and lowers that threshold and says, only if it's from a tzitzur katan, it's a small flow, but a chavit already is too big a flow to say, kama kama batil. Although the Ran says, you've then left this up to be very subjective, because how do you know when it's a big flow or a small flow? So at first he makes a distinction between tzitzur katan, where the flow that is going in, or the entirety of the flow, would not overwhelm that which is in the boar, versus a chavit, where the flow would overwhelm that which is in the boar, and that's the difference. But then again, he still says that's very subjective, and he comes up with a different answer, which is that it's normal to pour from a chavit into the boar. It is not normal to pour from a tzir tzur katan into the boar. And that is actually the distinction that's being made here, which is that since it's normal to pour from a chavit to the boar, we can assume all the wine in the chavit is going to end up in the boar. And therefore we look at the entirety of the picture and don't say kama kama batil. The other hand, tzir tzur katan, where it's not normal to pour it into the boar, there we're not sure, or quote unquote we're uncertain as to whether it's all going in, and therefore we look at every item going in distinctly, and that's why we apply kama kama batil in that case. Kiata Ravin, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Then you have Ravin, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Yain Nesech, Shenafal Labor, Benafal Sham Ton Shomayim. Ravin comes, and now quotes Rabbi Yochanan. Wine of Nesech, Shenafal Labor, Benafal Sham Kiton Shomayim, and then also water falls in, Ro'im Etahet there, Ki Ilu Eino. We look at the heter as if it's not there. Vashar ma'im rabim alav umavatlin oto. And then we take the remainder and say that the water overwhelms the yayin nesech. So again here, Ravin says that if you have a case where you had a boar that was full of heter, and then yayin nesech fell into the boar. Now you should have said kama kama botel, and it wouldn't have been an issue at all. Clearly you don't say kama kama botel over here, and that it is a problem. And for that reason, Rashi says that Ravin also argues on Rav Dimi and does not accept his view of kama kama botel. Number two is, he brings another din, which is important. You have here a boar that was full of heter wine. Yayin nesek now falls in it, to it, and it would make it a sur. But also, water falls into the boar. When water falls into the boar, water is also of heter. But that's min she'enu mino. Min b'mino is a sur b'koshu. Min she'enu mino is benotein tam. So now, if I look at the wine that's there of heter, and the wine of isur, koshu, doesn't really matter, it's going to be a sur. The other hand, if I look at the water versus the yayin nesek, that's min she'enu mino, it's no tein tam, and the water would override the yayin nesek that's there. So the question is, how do I put these pieces together? What Ravin is saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is that the yayin shel heter that's there, we view as if it's gone. It's not relevant to the case. We eliminate it from the calculation, and then we say you have water and yayin nesek. If the water can overwhelm the yayin nesek, it's batel, and we ignore the yayin shel heter. That's the chiddush of Ravin and Rabbi Yochanan, that when you have min she'enu mino mixed in with min b'mino, we take away the min b'mino piece of it, the heter side of it, and we look if the min she'enu mino can make a difference over here. But then that is qualified, ki'atar of Shmuel bar Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu elish nafal kidon shomayim tchila. That's only if the water fell in first. Aval lo nafal sham kidon shomayim tchila. If the water did not fall in first, matzam min et mino v'ne'ur. Min et mino found itself, v'ne'ur. Rashi reads, ne'or, like we know the word ne'or means to awaken. It awakens it, but it awakens it in a negative sense, which is that you had yayin shel heter in the boar, yayin shel nesek falls in, that yayin shel nesek now makes the yayin shel heter as if it is yayin shel nesek. It changes it over to no longer be called yayin shel heter. All of this is called yayin shel nesek. When the water falls in afterwards, but the other way around, if the water is there first, and then the yayin shel nesek falls in, then you have the mayim that's there as if it's ready to accept the yayin shel nesek, and it can bevatel it before it awakens the yayin shel heter that's there, and therefore it would be mutar. Or we're going to see later on a case where the yayin shel nesek fell into the water, and then they fall into the yayin shel heter. In those cases, you won't say that the yayin shel isur is reawakened by the yayin shel heter that's there. Some people put this qualification on our Mishnah. Yayin b'yayin koshu. That when you have wine into wine, that is b'koshu. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Rav Yochanan, lo shenu l'shelo nafal sham kaiton shomayim. That's only true if water didn't fall in. But nafal sham kaiton shomayim, ro'im et ha'eter kilo eino. If water fell in, we look at it as if the heter wasn't there. Rashar mayim rabim alav, umavatlin oto. And it wipes it out. Ma'ika ben l'matni law amatnitan ben l'matina Ravin. What is the difference whether you put the qualification of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda on the Mishnah versus putting it on Ravin? Man l'matni law amatnitan lo bayit chila. The one who puts it on the Mishnah does not require that the water falls first. He qualifies the Mishnah and says, yayin b'yayin b'koshu is only true when the water doesn't fall in there. But if water falls in there, then we say that the water wipes out the yayin nesech, and it's no longer min b'mino, it's min she'enu mino, and it's mino tein tam. Even if the water falls after the yayin nesek fell into the yayin shel heter. Whereas, if he's qualifying Ravin's statement, then it's b'tchila. That's only true when the water falls in first, not when the yayin nesek falls in first. And that's what it says, man d'mat nila Ravin, b'yit tchila. Requires tchila here. Now, Rashi says about this position of Ravin, alma polig Ravin ad Rav Dimi. He's definitely arguing Rav Dimi. V'ashmi'in on the mayu de mevatel chamro, of a chamro lo mevatel chamro. That water can mevatel wine, but wine cannot be mevatel wine. That means he doesn't subscribe to kama kama botel at all. And that leads Rashi to believe that the aloha here is like Ravin, because we paskin that yayin nesek is osir b'mashu,
no matter how it came into the mixture. And that means we eliminate entirely this concept of kama kama botil. And we go to Chumrah, like Rabin, who says there is no such concept. It's only b'min b'einu mino that it can be batel. B'min b'mino, there's no concept of bitul by Yayin Nesach. So many Rishonim disagree with Rashi's view over here. The Ramban points out that you can reconcile Rav Dimi with Rabin. I just say that Rabin's not speaking to the case of Rav Dimi at all. He's speaking about whether we look at the head terkilu eino, or it is there or it isn't there. But he's not addressing the issue of whether it fell in first or didn't fall in first. And in that way, first of all, you can reconcile the two and say if they're arguing. And the Balei Tosfot bring even another question, which is, we're dealing here with a din derabanan. Yayin Nesach, that's Oser B'mashu, is a din derabanan. And by Sofrim, Aleich Achara Mekil, that we should go after the one who is the most Mekil over here. The most Mekil is actually Rav Dimi. And therefore the Locha should have been like Rav Dimi and not like Rabin. So why is Rashi paskin like Rabin? But in the end, the Balei Tosfot would say the Locha is like Rabin, below me tamei, not for the reasoning of Rashi, but rather based on the Gemara in Yevamot, that says that Rabin was very middayek in his Shmaitata, and therefore he is bar sambohu. He is a very reliable source, and if we have an argument, we will rely on Rabin for his sourcing, or for his version of the story, and therefore the Locha is like Rabin over here, because he's the most reliable conveyor of Rabbi Yochanan's position. Though the Balei Tosfot don't seem to argue with Rashi's position that Rav Dimi is arguing, but we saw before that the Ramban says that they don't even have to be arguing. If that way you reconcile them, then you could even paskin like Rav Dimi and paskin like Rabin over here, and you would still believe that kama kama botel has application. Now, you have to also understand why over here, and this many of the Rishonim deal with, which is that we have a principle other places in Shas, Katichat Naseit Nevela, and here you have the Yayin Shel Nesek that's falling into the Yayin Shel Heter. Why don't we just say that the Yayin Shel Heter now turns into Katichat Naseit Nevela, and there's no longer any Heter that's here. The way that we're looking in the Gemara is clear that they're preserving the Heter, especially according to this qualification of the Mishnah. So why don't we apply that over here? There are three basic ways that the Rishonim undermine that thesis over here. One of them to say is that Katichat Naset Nevela is only true when the Katichat is a significant, distinct object. Over here you don't have that, because the Yayin is all mixed together and you don't have that. The other possibility is it's only true when you have no Tein Tam. That Katichat Naset Nevela is only applicable when the Isur that is imported to it is through Tam. I mean that it's significant enough that it flavors the object. But that's not true when you have an Isur Shel Mashu. Over here, the Isur is Mashu, and therefore we wouldn't necessarily apply the din of Katichat Naset Nevela. And lastly, there are those that want to say that it only has application by Basar V'Chalav. Katichat Naset Nevela is a unique din in Basar V'Chalav. It's not applicable to other Isurim, and there obviously would not apply here by Yayin Nesach. Now the Gemara says, Itmar, Yayin Nesach Shnafal Labor, V'Nafal Sham Kedon Shel Mayim. The Yayin Nesach that falls into a vat full of wine, that was mutar. So you have Isur falling into a heter, and then water falls into it. Amar Chizkia, Hegdilo b'Isur, Asur. If the Isur grows, then it's Asur. Hegdilo b'heter, mutar. If the heter grows, then it is mutar. The language is very difficult, and Rashi's explanation of the language is even more difficult. And for that reason, you can see there's a large Tosafot that disagrees with that. But at least we'll start with Rashi's interpretation in order to keep at least one clear flow through the Gemara. So Rashi explains, Higdido b'Isur, to mean that the Isur now created a greater quantity of items that was there. And according to Rashi, what happened here, according to the first case of Chizkiah, is that the water and Yayin Shel Heter were already there. And in the end, the Yayin Shel Nesek fell in. And what it means, Higdido b'Isur, means the Isur now expanded the quantity there. He says it's Asur, because we say that the Yayin Shel Nesach joins the Yayin Shel Heter. They are inseparable, because it's Min B'Mino. And because of that, the Mayim has no relevance in its ability now to wipe out the Yayin Shel Isur, because the Yayin Shel Isur is Me'orer, awakens the Yayin Shel Heter, and makes the whole thing into Isur, and the water has no impact over here. On the other hand, if it is Higdilo b'Heter, think to fall in afterwards was the wine of Heter, in that case it would work, because the water that was there first and the Yayin Nesek that combined together The water overwhelmed the Yayin Nesach, and the Yayin Nesach is already mivutal. Once the Yayin Nesach is mivutal, and then the Heter Yayin falls in, and that's what it means, Higdilo beheter. It expanded the quantity or the volume through Heter falling in. Over there, Chizkiyah believes that it is mutar, because we don't say that the Yayin Nesach comes back to life and finds the Yayin Shel Heter and causes problem for the water. Once it's mivutal in the water, it's as if it is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Now, there is a chakira in general with regards to bitul that we've spoken about in the past. It will come up more extensively in the Gemara in Chulin, but there is a machloket when we speak about bitul. Does bitul change what reality is? Or is bitul simply a halachic construct to deal with safek? So for instance, where you have two pieces of heter and one piece of isur, we say that the isur is batel. What does that mean, that the isur is batel? Does that mean that we now have three pieces of heter that are here because it's batel? Or do we say that if I'm to take one of the pieces, you can assume you're taking heter because that is the rope? If I take a second piece, you can also assume that is heter. The third piece I cannot take because you made the assumption for the first two pieces of heter, then you have to assume that the third piece is isur, which means that it is batel to the point that you can isolate the isur, or the isur still really exists. Is just now subordinate to the heter. The nafkamina might be this case over here, although it's not mukrach, but it seemingly might be the nafkamina here, which is you had yayin nesek that fell into water. How do I view the mixture now? Do I now have water, and that's it? And therefore, when the yayin shel heter comes in, all you have is water, and the yayin shel heter and water shel heter doesn't make a difference. Or, when the yayin nesek fell into the water, I have water that contains the yayin nesek. It doesn't matter because the water is too great or overwhelms the Yayin Nesech. Then when the Yayin Shel Heter comes in, all of a sudden the Yayin Shel Nesech connects with the Yayin Shel Heter, and that makes it that it will overwhelm the water, and now it's all asur. So that would be the, maybe part of this Chakira. From here it seems like the wiping out of the Isur is complete to the point where it does not reawaken. We don't say what's called Chuzer V'Neor. It doesn't reawaken in this situation, because it's batel inside of the water. Again, it's not mukhrach that you have to say that, but that seems to be the leanings of the way that we're interpreting the Gemara. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan believes, even in that scenario that Chizki at first said is asur, where the yayin nesek falls in after the water and yayin heter are there, it's also mutar, only in the case where the water went in first, because we'll see later on in the Gemara, we apply the principle of roin. We view the yayin heshel heter as if it's not there, and then the mayim will overwhelm or even battle the yayin shel nesach, and in that case it'll be mutar according to Rabbi Yochanan. Tosafot is bothered by Rashi's explanation from two levels. The first of which is the lashon of higdilo does not sound like what Rashi's saying, and number two is Rashi's assumption here that the water always has to be there first. Ikar chaser min hasefer. If that's so important, why isn't it mentioned here? Yes, we could rely on what Rabin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan before, but this seems to be an independent statement, a machloki between Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. And if it was so important that Mayim B'Tchilah, that should have been a qualifying statement in Rabbi Yochanan's position. When I say that when the Yayin Nesech falls in the end, it's mutar, that's only when the water was there originally. And if it's so fundamental, it should have been mentioned. For that reason, the Baal Tosafot argue on both assumptions of Rashi. And number one, they say that it does not matter whether the mayim was there b'tchilah or the mayim was there basof. And number two is they explain the language of higdilo. If the item fell in b'isur, when the isur already existed, which means that the water fell in when already the yayin nesach was mixed together with the yayin shel heter. So that's what it means, higdilo b'isur. The isur existed, and then the water fell in on top of that. According to Chizkiyah, that is asur, because we don't view the Yayin Shel Heter as if it is Eino. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan, who is Matir, says will be viewed the Yayin Shel Heter Kilo Eino, and the new water that falls in will be Mevatalit. And the vice versa, the case of Higdilo Beheter, is a case where the water and the Yayin Shel Heter are already in the boar, and then the Yayin Nesek falls in. In that case, everybody agrees that it will be Mutar, because the whole mixture was already heter before the Yayin Nesek falls in, and therefore we say that the Mayim is able then to be Mevatel the Yayin Nesek. So in summary, according to Rashi's Shita over here,
If the yayin fell into the yayin, doesn't matter if it's the yayin nesach into the etter, the yayin shall enter into the nesach first, the water will make no difference. And that's based on Ravin's position before, which Rashi Paskin's like, that only if mayim was there first, does it make a difference. Then, if mayim is there first, the question then becomes, what's falling into what? Is it the yayin shel heter that's there first, and then the yayin nesach is coming in? In that case, Chizkiyah says that it is problematic, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says we view the heter, yayin shel heter, as if it's not there. On the other hand, if the yayin nesach fell into water and was any batel, and then afterwards the yayin shel heter falls in, there everybody agrees, both Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan agree that it is mutar. And in summary, the Baalei Tosafot, Chizkiyah thinks that the water only works to be mevatel when it's in there first, not when it's in second. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan believes whether the mayim is first or second doesn't matter, it is able to be mevatel. The Gra points out here that the Yerushalmi sounds like Rashi's pshat, but they do qualify Rabbi Yochanan's position and say that it doesn't matter whether the water went in first or went in second, which is against Rashi. So it's actually a combination of these two positions. And therefore, many Rishonim like the Rashba take up this position that's noted by the Gra, and that actually makes it easier to understand Rabbi Irian's upcoming statement that this machloket is domed to another machloket of Blazer and Rabbanon, because then it's very similar in nature. Alright, so Amarle Rabbi Irmi Le Rabbi Zera, Lema Chizkiyah Rabbi Yochanan Beplukted Rabbi Blazer Rabbanon Kamiflege. Now, it's clear, as Rashi notes over here, that Rabbi Irmi didn't know what the reasoning behind the positions of Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiyah were, and therefore he's speculating about what their machloket is about, suggesting that it's connected to a machloket of Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanon. That's not. So or shel chulin v'shel truma shenaflu l'toch ha'isa. You have a rising agent that fell into dough. The rising agent is comprised of 50% chulin, 50% truma. Lo bezeh kedei l'chametz v'lo bezeh kedei l'chametz. Each one individually does not have sufficient power to cause the dough to rise. V'nitztarfu v'chimtzu. But then together, the Iser and Heter together have sufficient volume to cause the dough to rise. Belozer Omer, Achar Acharon Aniba. Rabbi Elazar says, we follow the ladder of the two that fell in. If the Chulin fell in second, then it's classified as Chulin. If the Truma fell in second, then it's classified as Truma. In essence, the first leavening agent had no power. It's the second leavening agent, yes, together with the first leavening agent, but that second leavening agent that causes it to rise, and therefore, that is what it's going to be called. Whatever the second leavening agent is, that's what it's going to be called. Ben shnafal yisur b'tchila, ben basof. Whether the yisur fell first or in the end, inu asur sheibo kedei l'chametz. Then it's not asur until the yisur has sufficient capacity to cause it to rise on its own. All right, so the Gemara up front thinks that you hear you have a machloka between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim about when you have yisur and heter that fall in together, what is the status of the Iser and heter that fall in together? But Belazar says you always go after the latter of the two objects that fall in. Chachamim may say it's irrelevant which falls in. We always look at the capacity of each one to leaven the dough. And if the Iser cannot do it alone, then whatever's here is mutar. And so too over here. What Rabbi Yirmiyah is suggesting is that Chizkiyah's position is similar to Rabbi Elazar's position, that we follow the ladder of the two items that fall in. So therefore, if the Yayin Nesech came in the end, it is a Tzur. Nafal Kasher Basof, if the Yayin Shel Heter fell in the end, then it is Mutar. So similar to what Rabbi Elazar says over here, that the ladder of the objects that falls in is the determining factor, so too, by Chizkiyah, the ladder of the two objects that falls in is the determinant. So if Yayin Nesech falls in the end, problematic. Yayin Shel Heter falls in the end, it is mutar. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Chachamim, who say it doesn't matter which falls in the end, as long as there's water in there sufficient to wipe out the flavor of the Yayin Nesech, then we view the Yayin Shel Heter as a no, and until there's enough in the Isur to overwhelm the Mayim, it won't matter. And so they'll hold like the Chachamim. The Gemara says, V'tizbra, can you really explain their machloket in that manner? Bamar Abaye. Abaye qualified Rabbi Elazar's position and says, Lo shana la shakadam b'silei k'ta yisur. It's only true if he pulled out the yisur first. V'lo kadam b'silei k'ta yisur asur. If he didn't pull it out, it would be asur. Chizkiyah to Amar Keman. Then who is Chizkiyah going to hold like? Because then, according to Rabbi Elazar, when the heter falls in after the Yisur, and the Yisur is still there, it is problematic. And Chizkiya said when the heter falls in the end, it is mutar. That's even if the Yayin Nesech was already there and still there. Yeah, it's Rabbi Elazar, according to Abaye, he only says it's true when the Yisur has been removed, not when the Yisur is still in there. And then you cannot now align Chizkiya with Rabbi Elazar. And of course, Chizkiya can't align with the Chachamim, because the Chachamim say it's irrelevant which way it falls in. First or second, it's always going to be mutar. So if that's the case, Chizkiya can't hold like either of these positions. Ela hocha biro'in kamiflegei. Here, meaning in our case, they are saying, do we say? Ro'in, as if we say. Now, the machloket by se'or will have to do with ze v'ze gorein. We have two gormim, how do we view it? Rabbi Elazar says ze v'ze gorein is asur, whereas the Chachamim believe ze v'ze gorein is mutar. Therefore, the Chachamim say until there is the power in one of them to be machmitzit, we say ze v'ze gorein, and it's mutar. Rabbi Elazar says we say ze v'ze gorein is asur. Elaim Cain, you pulled out the Isur first, and then the Heter fell in, because then we say that the Heter is the ultimate Goreim, and it's not really anymore Zeb Zeb Goreim, because the Isur was removed. So the latent power that was given by the Isur is not considered to be problematic. And again, over there, the difference being that there's no Din of Bittul over there, because the leavening agent affects the entire dough. It's something that is so, quote-unquote, powerful, that we don't view it within the context of Bittul. We view it in the context of affecting the entire dough or the entire bread that you're making. And therefore, you have to know, is the leavening agent sufficient to cause the item to rise? And even if it is not notzein tam, the fact that it caused it to rise is enough to make the whole thing asur because it touches the whole item. And therefore, the whole issue is there sufficient here to do it by itself or not? And that is Zeb Zogurim will be their machloket. Our machloket by Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan will be about Roim. The Chizkiya late Roim. Chizkiya says, we don't look at the heter as if it's not there. Rabbi Yochanan says that we look at the heter as if it's not there, and all you have left is water and the Yayin Nesech, and then the question is, what's the relationship between the water and the Yayin Nesech? Immediately, Rabbi Yochanan Ro'in, does Rabbi Yochanan really have this principle of Ro'in? Rabbi Yochanan asks Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei kosot, echad shel chulin v'echad shel truma. You have two cups of wine. One of them contains chulin, and one of them contains truma, umazgan. And then he mixes them with water. He dilutes them with water. So now you have water that's added to the wine of chulin, and now you have water that is added to the wine of truma. Ve'irvan zeh bezeh. After he already diluted them, then the two cups got mixed together. Mahu, what is the din over here? Velo pashatlei. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't give him an answer. He was uncertain as to what the answer would be. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you say we view the heter as if it's not there, then the answer here would be very clear, which is that we would look at the yayin shel chulin as if it's not, and then you'll take the water that's mixed with the yayin shel truma, and the water that's mixed with the yayin shel chulin, and then you'd see that if the water between those two overwhelms the yayin shel truma, it would be batel. And that would be the answer to the question. How come Rabbi Yochanan didn't know the answer to the question if he subscribes to this din of ruin? And the Gemara's answer is, Mi'ikara lo pashatle, originally, or at the time of the question, he didn't answer it. Le'besol pashatle. In the end, after he came around to this view, that ruin, we look at the heter as if it's not there, then he did give him an answer. The Bayat Tosafot of here point out that the truth is that you have to say here that there isn't enough chulin to nullify the trumah, where the yayin shel chulin and the mayim shel chulin are not enough to be mevatel the truma yayin, because that would be batel 100-1. If you have 100 chulin above the one of truma there, then it would be batel, because truma is batel 100-1. So what you have to say is that the water and the wine of chulin is not sufficient to be mevatel the yayin shel truma, and that's why you need to invoke the principle of roin. But once you invoke the principle of roin, it actually helps you in two fronts. One is then you're able to add the water from the cup of the chulin and the water of the cup of truma, but also makes it min she'enu mino. And when you're dealing with min she'enu mino, it's batel b'shishim b'truma. And that means that it also lowers the threshold for bitul. So now, by min b'mino, you require 100-1. So only if the cup of chulin and the yayin of chulin together were 100 times the yayin of the truma, that would have worked. But even absent that, which is the case here, according to the Bayit Tosafot, then you can say, ro'in, the yayin shel chulin, as if it doesn't exist. And then we'll combine the water of chulin and the water that was in the truma. And if now they are 60 times the wine of truma, then they can successfully be mevatel it. So the ro'in helps you on those two fronts. It helps you to reduce the threshold because it makes a min she'enu mino. But also allows you to add the water from both of them together, because the water of the chulin and the yayin of chulin by themselves were not sufficient to be mevatel the yayin shel truma. Oh, the Ran does bring an innovative view from the Ribala Tosafot, which is that we know from the Gemara in Psachim and Arvei Psachim, since we're coming up to this, that the normal mezigah is three parts water to one part wine. And what he claims here is the case here is also a case like that, where it's three parts water to one part wine. And that means in the chulin you have three parts water to one part wine, and in the truma you have three parts water to one part wine. But that also means that if they are now mixed together, and we say ro'in, and we eliminate the wine of chulin, still the water is only 6 to 1 versus the yayin shel truma. And in that, the Rei Bala Tosafot has a big chiddush, and that is that mizug, the dilution of wine, only has a tam of yayin when it is 3 to 1, 4 to 1, 5 to 1. Once you reach 6 to 1, it's no longer notein tam l'shvach, it's notein tam l'fgam, and it's no longer considered dilution, and has a huge nafkamina locha, which means that if you have a mixture of yayin to 6 parts water, that's already, first of all, considered to be mevutal, and number two is it's not considered to be yayin anymore, and that what you're drinking is not yayin, but rather water. And that means above 6 to 1 ratio. Unlike other Yisurim where you need 60 to 1, this yayin has a unique din, that 3 to 1 is your normal dilution. By the time you get to 6 to 1, it's already no ten tam nifgam, and therefore the dilution or the bittul of yayin will only require a ratio of 6 to 1. Amar Rabbi Yami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we have a member that supports this view within Rabbi Yochanan. Ben kosot echad shel chulin ve'echad shel truma umazgan, and then he diluted them. Ubirvan, and then they got mixed together. Zebazeh ro'in et haheter kilo eino. We view the heter yayin shel heter as if it doesn't exist. Vashar mayim rabim alav umaklin oto, and the remainder is water, water from the dilution of the chulin cup, water from the dilution of the truma cup, and those together will be mevatel the truma. And again, here you'd have to say what the Baal Tosafot said before, that there was not enough in the chulin cup to be 100 to 1 versus the truma, the chulin cup of yayin and mayim, to mevatel the truma, it's yayin in the other cup. And that's why you need to resort to this ro'in aspect. You see here that in the end, Rabbi Yochanan did answer the question and the thesis that we're saying in Rabbi Yochanan's position, which is ro'in. Is that a klal? The klal at the end of the Mishnah is, min b'mino b'mashu, shlo b'mino b'no tintam. All the Yisurim in the Torah are subject to this rule. That means min b'mino is b'mashu. Shelo b'minan, if it's not the same min, then it's b'no tintam. It's determined by flavoring. Ze'aklau le'atuyei mai. Then in that case, what's the principle coming to include? Le'atuyei kol Yisurim shebetorah. To tell you that it doesn't just apply to Yayin Nesech, it applies to all the other Yisurim in the Torah. Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish de'amei tarvayu. Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish both believe kol Yisurim shebetorah ben b'minam ben shelo b'minam b'no tintam. Then when it comes to any other Yisurim in the Torah, whether it's the same min, whether it's a different min, they are benoting tam. That is a determining factor. Chutz, mitevel, v'yayin nesech, with the exception of yayin nesech, which is found in our Mishnah, and the case of tevel, items that do not have their trumot and masro taken off of them, their b'minan b'mashu, their min b'mino would be yasur b'mashu, shelo b'minan benoting tam. And if they were not, if it was not the same min, then it would be benoting tam. In essence, the principle of our Mishnah applies to yayin nesech, and also to Tevel, and that's what is Zekhal Yatuye Tevel. And Zekhal comes to include Tevel, to say that Tevel also is subject to the same rules as Yayin Nesech. Tanya Kavati de Rabbi Shmuel, and Tanya Kavati de Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish. For a bright that it's supportive of each of these pairs. Tanya Kavati de Rabbi Shmuel, we have a bright that's more, it's Rabbi Shmuel. Koi Surin Shmet Torah, B'minan B'mashu. All these three in the Torah are subject to Min B'mino B'mashu. Shlo B'mino B'no Tintam. Explicitly like the position of Rav and Shmuel. Tanya Kavati Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish. We have a braita that's supportive of Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish. All the Isurim Shabbat Torah, whether it's the same item or it's a differentiated item, there it's Menotein Tam. The Isur will only be effective in causing a problem when it gives flavor into the item, and again, qualified by what we saw before, Notein Tam the Shvach, has to be a positive flavor that it is adding. Chutz, with the exception of Tevel V'yayin Nesach, where Min B'minam is B'mashul, there it's the same item that's mixing together, like Yayin and Yayin, there would be Asur B'mashul. Shalom B'minam, if it's wine and then water, wine and some other juice, then it's Benotein Tam. Now Gemara says, Bishlam Yayin Nesach Mishum Chumra Davarat Kuchamim. I understand why Yayin Nesach is subject to a koshu, because that's Yayin Nesach. It's a serious issue. It's Avodah Zarah. And the Chachamim were Machmir. Everything in the Torah is Benotein Tam. Now what we're saying is that the Chumrah of Yayin Nesach makes it that we treat Min B'mino being Oser B'Koshu. That's fine. That's because it's dealing with the severity of the violation of Avodah Zarah, Yayin Nesach. Ela Tevel my Taima. Why would you say a Koshu by Tevel? The way that you can be matir tevel is the same way that tevel becomes or makes something else a sur. That is damar shmo chita chat poteret et akri. That one small kernel can discharge your obligation. Now clearly the statement of Shmuel is speaking about truma. And that is the first thing that you take off of tevel is truma. The Torah gives no shi'ur for truma. It says reshit gancha. The first of your items should be taken off. That truma, since it has no shiur, therefore you could take off the smallest amount, and it will be yotzei truma, and it will no longer be tevel le truma. And the fact that we say that a generous person gives truma at 1/40th, a benoni gives it at 1/50th, and somebody who is a little miserly gives at 1/60th, those are dinim derabanan. They're a smachta from the pasuk in Navi, but nevertheless, they are only a din derabanan. The din d'oraita is a koshu. So if a koshu can relieve the tevel of its shame tevel, then the isur, tevel itself, will also cause a problem, even when it is a koshu. The Bali Tosafot here raised an issue, but the issue is broader. The Bali Tosafot raised the issue from a backward view, which is that Yerushalmi says the reason that tevel is osur mekoshu is because it's the dabar sheyesh lo matirin. It's something that can be made into heter. It's not permanently asur. Tevel is something that the shame tevel can't be removed from it. And davar sheyesh lo matirin, afilu be'elafeinu batel. We have a principle, something that can be made into heter. We do not say that it is batel. There are different reasons given to that. Rashi says the reason is because if you can wait and make into heter, why would you be mevatel it over here? And that goes back to the chakira we saw before. Makes it sound like bitel is only, quote unquote, bidiyavad. It's a halakha construct when you're looking at items that have a majority and a minority or a notin tam or no notin tam in it. If you can wait and solve the problem, then wait, which means that it's still around. They run in the Dorim, spoke about the fact that only opposites can be mevatel each other. And a davar sheyesh lo matirin is too close to heter to be able to be mevatel it, and therefore it doesn't work to be mevatel. And that's the reason davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel. But the Bali Tosafot will bring that question from the Yerushalmi, and then they try to deal with it with the answer that actually addresses the main question here, which is, you only explain to us tevel, that's tevel for truma. Tevel also has other items that have to be taken off of it. You have to take off truma. You have to take off maser. Maser does have a shiur, and that shiur is 10%. So then over there, you can no longer apply the principle that, oh, it's heter is by koshu, iser should be koshu. That's not true when the truma has already been taken off of the tevel. So the Bali and Tosafot say that's why the Yerushalmi brought a different reason. Because the reason of Yerushalmi applies sometimes, and the reason of the Bavli applies sometimes, they don't necessarily always work together. The example of where they don't work together is the case of Maser, where the Tevel already had Truma taken off, and now it's Tevel, the Maaser Rishon. That requires a 10% removal. You can't use the Bavli's term of a Ketero, Kachisuro. Because the Heter is 10%, you're not going to say the Isser is 10%. And for that reason, you need Yerushalmi then to tell you that it's because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. And a davar sheyesh lo matirin is enu batel. Or you can have other situations where, for instance, the Baal HaBayit is not in town. The Baal HaBayit is not in town. It's not called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. That's based on a chiddush of the Rabbeinu Tam. The davar sheyesh lo matirin is only if you can do it easily. The Mishnah Yisrael Medina said, without very much effort, you can make it to Heter. We tell you to wait. But if you have to undertake difficult efforts or a lot of travel to do it, we don't deem it to be a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Anything that does not require Torah and Yitziyah, great effort or expenditure, then it's called Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Over here, where you have a case where the Baal Bayit's not around and would be a big undertaking for him to come, that's not called a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Over there, we invoke the principle of Ketero Kach Yisuro. And therefore, the Tevel will be also Mikosho, even though it's not a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And that's how Tosafot solves the problem, but also addresses the question. Others suggest that it's a Gzeiro de Rabbanan, which is, yes, by Tevel and Truma, when it's Tevel the Truma, then Midoraita, it's a Sur Mikosho, because Ketero Kach Yisuro. Once you've taken off the Truma, and now you're dealing with Meiser and other things that are not Mutar Mikosho, then technically they would not be subject to the same rule, and the Tevel then would be Tevel that's not Oser Mikosho. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan instituted that Tevel will still have that same status of being Oser Mikosho, even though it's no longer Tevel Litruma. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a Braita that supports that, although you can see here that the Masoret Shas notes that it's Vitnan, it's actually a Mishnah in Chala. Where do we say that Tevel's Oser Mikosho? Bimino. That's when it's the same in. Shalobi, you know, Benotein Tam. But if it's not Bimino, it's Benotein Tam. And the diok that the Gemara is making is that it is Tevel alone that is Oser Mikosho, but any other Isserim Shabbat Torah would be Benotein Tam. And therefore you have to say that the principle that's being invoked over here is Ketero, Kach Isuro. And that's why Tevel is Oser Mikosho. All right, we're going to stop here at the end of Ayin Gimel Amud Bet.